world.
I shall wear a crown.
Somebody's got a story to tell. Somebody knows what the Lord has done for them. So when you have that opportunity to put on that robe and tell that story, soon as you get home, today I'll be coming from Hebrews, the 10th chapter, 35th through 39th verse. If you could please stand with me for the reading of the Lord's word. And when you found it, please say amen. Amen. Hebrews, the 10th chapter, we're going to come from 35 through 39. One more time, Hebrews, the 10th chapter, 35th through 39th verse. I'm going to be coming from the New King James Version. It reads, "Therefore, do not cast away your confidence, which has great reward. For you have need of endurance, so that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he who is coming will come and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith, but if anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure in him. But we are not of those who draw back to perdition, but of those who believe to the saving of the soul." Amen. Amen. Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you for this under-shepherd, Lord, who's doing a mighty work. Thank you for this church, Joshua Tabernacle. Continue to bless the Lord so that it may remain standing strong in the Russell neighborhood, the city of Louisville, state of Kentucky, the United States of America, and this world. Lord, let us be mindful that it is you and you alone who does all these wonderful acts and great works. I ask right now, Lord, that you open our hearts and minds to receive your word and take this word out into the streets to shed light into a dark and dying world. Lord, forgive us of our sins and trespasses. Show us how to lead in love and light. Ask all these petitions, sweet son, in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Amen. Good morning. Greetings from Emmanuel Baptist Church, where the Reverend Damon E. Thompson is pastor. I want to thank Reverend Snorton, Pastor Snorton, for this opportunity. One of my friends said, "Isn't that kind of late notice?" I'm like, when the Lord calls you to speak the word, you go and speak the word. Amen. He could have called me this morning around 9:15. I'd have been here at 11 o'clock. Ready to present the word of the Lord. Because it has to be preached. Somebody's got to preach it. We need to hear it. Because those who are in the workforce, you need this time with the Lord. Because they will try you at work. They will push you to the brink of forgetting you are a Christian. And that's why I love this text so much. It's because out of Hebrews, so much is it's poured out, so much is laid bare, so much is presented before us. And it's so intense here in Hebrews that no one really knows who the author is. Now, some folks say Peter, some say Luke, some say Apollos, but I noticed that none of that matters because it's all about Jesus. Yeah. And what you need to understand about Jesus and his sovereignty and his magnificence and what we have to do when we receive that word. So, this letter is written to an audience made up of new Christians, both Hebrew and Gentile. And they were being persecuted, beat up, locked up, stripped of their dignity, and their possessions seized. Rough way to go. So it's kind of hard to be a new Christian, all this bad stuff is happening. Yeah. So this group is desperate in the needing of encouragement. They're desperate and in need of hearing from the Lord. What is this? Why are we going through all this? Why is it so hard? Why are they doing this to us? And they wanted to understand clearly, are we on the right path? And they knew the answer, but they just needed some encouragement. Today we are gathered here in this house of worship to be reminded not to lose our confidence, not to lose hope, not to lose our way, and to be reassured of God's blessed assurance. So today's sermon title is When You Live by Faith.
All right.
When you live by faith.
Live by faith.
These Christians were in the struggle of a lifetime and merely existing.
Yeah.
I'm not talking about doing well. I'm just talking about living and breathing. These Christians were struggling because they're doing something that a lot of folks still in the old covenant saw as blasphemous.
Yeah.
But these people were covered by the blood of Jesus and understood Jesus was the truth and the light.
Yeah.
Now, when you stand on the truth and the light, you get punched in the face. It gets a little trying. It's trying to that faith. It is hard to believe that this is the right thing to be doing. I mean, let's be honest. You want to be a good Christian, but you won't get beat up either. And that's why it's so important that we look at Proverbs 13 and 12 when it says hope deferred makes the heart sick.
Yeah.
That hopelessness was starting to creep in. That hopelessness was starting to take over. That hopelessness was starting to dim that light in life and the value of salvation. These things were going away. They weren't there. Tangible, visual. I can't lay my hands on it. And that's why faith, when you live by faith, is so important. Because when you live by faith, you can't go by sight. Because if you walk by sight, you stopping along the way, seeing what's going to make you trip and fall. When you walk by faith, you just close your eyes and let the Lord lead. It's important that we do these things because we're coming up on a generation that has no faith. These young folks have no faith. Not a little bit or sometime. I'm talking no faith. A lot of times they're listening to things on the radio, on YouTube or Facebook or what have you, steering them away from what the Lord have them to look at and learn and accomplish. And that's why it's so important that when we live by faith that we share what the Lord has done for us. Take the time, sit them down and have them understand what it means to live by faith. Because on the back half of Proverbs 13 and 12, it says, but when the desire comes, it is a tree of life. Share that light. Share that life, that understanding that tree of life matters. That tree of life is Jesus.
Yeah.
A lot of these folks don't want to talk about Jesus. Where you go with that white Jesus? That's one of the most exhausting things I deal with all the time. I've got to send my brothers down and show them a map, show them where Egypt is, show them where Jesus hid out as a baby for 2 years. What white baby can hang out in Egypt for 2 years, not look weird, not look strange, not look odd? Forget all that. Survive. That son would cook that baby. We have to understand that this is where the truth is.
Yeah.
Don't let these people paint you a portrait and mislead and misdirect you. This is a sovereign God.
Yeah.
This is a Lord of Lords, King of Kings. And the thing is, these kids are in trials and tribulations and they don't know how to get out of them.
Yeah.
We've seen things. I've witnessed things. I've been blessed by the knowledge that has been shared with me by older folks, and I was able to listen, and oh wow, that really did happen.
Yeah.
But you're dealing with a generation now that hasn't seen those things. They don't know what it means to have whites only, or to deal with segregation, or to deal with those challenges to your personhood. Not just, you know, police pull you over and beat you up. We're talking about police just beat you up. Walking down the street, sicking dogs and fire hoses and things that indignities that you just can't fathom. Now, granted, I know them brothers went out in handcuffs at Starbucks, but there wasn't a mob trying to beat them up at the same time. There's a difference. And these are the things that we need to understand when we live by faith. It's imperative that we understand what faith means, because it's all you got is your faith. Because when you live by faith, you're living by what you believe. See, that's the difference. You live what you believe. I believe in Jesus Christ. I believe in his sovereignty. I believe in his salvation that he's offering. I believe in what God has for me is mine. See, we have to have a faith to ask for these things. You bebopping along, well, God ain't done nothing for the black community. Y'all ain't asked in a while. You hadn't come to church and see what's really going on.
Yeah.
You see where folks have been blessed with opportunities that just don't happen all the time. I'm here to tell you, I'm blessed. Blessed. I got two daughters who've been to the intensive care unit down there at Children's Hospital downtown, and I got to bring them home. I've watched other families have to prepare funerals, do all those other things, but I've had that opportunity to have my faith rewarded here on this side. And it's imperative that you walk in that faith so that you can share that faith. A lot of times they don't know what you're doing here at church. You got young folks that don't know what's going on in church. They just think you're wasting your Sunday mornings and afternoons. They don't know that you're being recharged, refueled, restored, reconciling with the Lord and what his word has for you. And it's imperative that we do this because sometimes it's hard to be confident when life gets hard. It is. It's hard to be confident when you're sitting in your house in the dark because your power has been cut off. Just this week, we've seen two wildly rich, successful, and influential people in Kate Spade and Anthony Bourdain commit suicide. These were folks that had it all together. Kate Spade was worth $200 million cash. $1 billion business, $200 million cash. But because I don't believe she had a strong relationship with God, you won't have anywhere to go. All the money in the world's not going to bring you peace. Notorious B.I.G. said, more money, more problems. Now, here's somebody that, you know, he's rough around the edges. But that's okay. He understood what money was doing. It brings those challenges. It does not bring peace. It'll pay a light bill, but there's no guarantees of happiness. Definitely no guarantees of joy. Because I met some people that didn't have two niggas to rub together, and they were absolutely filled with joy. Just as happy as could be, I'm broke, but I'm happy being broke. And here's the other thing is that know that God loves you. Stay prayerful and ask the Lord to help as only he can. Because life gets hard. Life is challenging. And if you do not believe me or it has not happened to you, keep living. You're going to have to do something hard. And it's not going to make sense because in Ecclesiastes 9:11, Solomon says, I returned and saw under the sun that the race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong, nor the bread to the wise, nor riches to the men of understanding, nor favor to men of skill, but time and chance happen to them all. There's no way that we can understand what the Lord has planned. It's beyond our understanding. That's why we operate in faith, to believe what God says he's going to do. This is King Solomon here. He's seen this stuff. He understands. He knows. He's borne witness to these things. Only the Lord knows. And that's why it's so important that we understand endurance. And in verse 36, it says, for you have need of endurance, so that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. With the endurance, you have to keep on and on and on. You have to keep fighting the good fight. And I'm not talking about the kind of endurance where you can sit down at a doctor's office and kind of wait on the doctor, yay, run a little bit late. I'm not talking that endurance. I'm talking about a race to be ran, a marathon, something that you have to do all the time, over and over again, so that you can finish the race. Yeah. There's no quitting when you're running for the Lord. You have to. There's so much benefit and reward in it. You will receive the promise if you continue with your endurance. And in James 1, 2, and 4, it says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. Said, not if, James says, when. When you fall in various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. One of the things that is a challenge in our society is we have no patience. We live in a microwave society. Anything more than 2 minutes, we are tuned out. Anything more than to heat up our coffee and pop some popcorn, we're done. And you got to understand, this is the environment your children have always grown up in. See, I grew up right before the microwave all the way took off, so you had to put your leftovers in some aluminum foil on a pan, put in the stove, and wait about 20 minutes. See, you had to learn patience. Everything was home cooked. There wasn't no pulling at McDonald's, getting something to eat, and driving off. Everything was home cooked. So you learned patience. And through this patience, have its perfect work that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. See, it's in this endurance and in this patience that not only you keep running the race, but you're going to wait on the Lord. Yeah. It's two parts. And when you have this endurance and when you have this patience, you have what you need to succeed. Yeah. Because you'll fully understand in your faith walk, when you live by faith, you are going to see what the Lord has for you. When you faithfully pray to the Lord, Lord, what am I supposed to do? The doctor just said I had cancer. What do I need to do, Lord? How do I keep fighting the good fight? How do I continue to see the sun? How do I continue to be positive? This is where that endurance and patience come from. You wait on the Lord. Now, isn't he a healer? The Lord is a healer. Time and time and time again, I've seen it. This time last Sunday, I was sitting over in the Immediate Care Center in Clarksville getting diagnosed with pneumonia. I couldn't breathe good. Here I am right now, a week later, preaching the gospel. He's a healer. So when you understand who God is and that he's a healer, you also have to know that he's a provider. Yes, you're sitting in the dark because your lights is cut off, but I'm going to sit right here in the dark and praise the Lord. I'm going to praise until the lights come back on, or at least till sunrise. You have to understand that's where God is. That's where he functions. Sometimes you need to sit in the dark where it's quiet, no distractions. And when you don't have any money to pay that light bill, you know when it comes back on, it was nothing but the Lord. You have to understand these things matter. That you're going to have trials. And these trials are meant for you. Not everybody gets the same trial. My trial is work. Because Lord knows the people at my job try my patience. I saw a little meme on Facebook and said, nowhere will test your gangster like your place of employment. Nobody will challenge you and all that's in you like your place of employment. And it's true for me. I can go there and these folks are ugly. They do ugly things. They're on these drugs and they're talking crazy to people, calling you out of the name, and it's hard. And I have to pray. Not just pray. Call them on, bring them on down, Lord. I need you right now. Because there's a part of Reverend Andrew L. Williams Jr. that used to be just Drew. And I'm trying to keep Drew from showing up. Because they don't want Drew. Drew is Old Testament. There's no mercy, no grace. What is it, Jeremiah says, stop praying for him? The Lord says, stop praying for him. The punishment is coming. I want to stay Andrew. And that's why it's so important, because life isn't going to make sense, nor is it going to operate on your timetable. The endurance this text is talking about will continue to push you and have you understand that love and light are always going to be there. They're not always your friend. They're not always going to do what you expect to do. That's co-workers. That's loved ones. I mean, how many times have you gotten into it with one of your, any married people? You're going to get into with your spouse. You just are. You're going to get into it with your friend. You're going to get into it with your church members. You're going to get into it, pastor. Every now and then. You are going to get into it with somebody. Why? Because you're going to get into it with yourself. You don't agree with you 100% of the time. So you have to reconcile these things when you live by faith. You have to understand that it's not always going to make sense. Sometimes 2 + 2 = cheese. You're not going to be able to understand it fully. It's not going to make sense. And that's why you pray in faith when you live by faith. You have to do these things. And in verse 38, it says, now the just shall live by faith. The just. You have to be a part of the just. You have to be a part of the fair, the one seeking the Lord. You have to be a part of that understanding where you have all the beautiful things in life and that you have to understand that you are tasked to share. You have an understanding of this Bible. Explain it to someone who doesn't understand. take the word of God with you. Share it with people. You wonder why folks is acting a fool at the checkout at Kroger? It's because they don't know the Lord. Pray for them. Pray for them right then and there. Don't wait. If you have a child, you share the love of Christ. Maybe they will listen. Maybe they won't. But understand this. If you share the love of Christ, if he rejects it, it's not on you. How many people are walking around with all this Bible knowledge, not sharing it? That's selfish of you.
Yeah.
Share that love of Christ so they can be turned around. You want to help with this pipeline to prison? Let's do some praying and sharing of the word of the Lord.
Yes.
Have them read the Bible to you. Get an NIV version, please. Because
yeah.
JCPS, have them read the NIV for you, please, so that they can get the word in them as well. It's imperative that they read the word of God. The only way to know it is if you read it. And the real reason that we need to read it is so that we know it for ourselves. You have some folks telling you all kinds of foolishness. I will listen to some of these preachers preach. And this prosperity gospel, I struggle with it because it distracts. Because when there is no prosperity, there is no gospel. You got to understand the prophetic. You got to understand that God means what he says. Not everybody's going to get a big Cadillac in the driveway.
Right.
Thank you, Lord, if you do. But if you don't, I still got to love you. I still got to serve you. My salvation is still up to you. That's why it's imperative that you share these things and you share this love and that you live by faith. And what I mean by live, I'm talking about what you do every day. Not what you do here at church, because everybody gets all nice and gussied up and nice big pretty hats. They're going to be on your best behavior. Nobody's going to get cussed out, at least not inside the church, maybe in the parking lot. But you have to understand fully that that's how you live. And my thing is, let's be honest here with this whole living. Hold on, let's be honest. It's in our faith that our Lord Jesus Christ is where we are justified and shown how to live. Jesus already laid it out for us, okay? It's the blueprints in place. It's whether or not you're willing to read that blueprint, understand it, and apply it, because we live in a world where anything goes. So Christians, I task you, stick to the blueprint, and please be consistent with what you're doing, because let's be honest, if I see you in church, big pretty hat, all these things, talking about the Lord has blessed you, and then you go out here to the Kroger and you get in the U-Scan and you get to cussing folks because they cut in line. Yeah, that's a true thing that you must understand. You can take a step back, take a deep breath, and draw them on down here to help you in your time of need. You laugh, but I'm so serious. I've had to do it.
You ain't the only one, Reverend.
Amen. Standing there, they got all, it's bad enough they only got two U scans over, and this lady's taking 20 minutes scanning some grapes. Lord help. It is so important that we live by our faith, because a lot of Christians, we live by devotions. We want to say, hey, you know, I read my daily bread every day. I don't mean nothing. I ain't saying nothing about faith. That's not saying nothing about faith. You just read a daily bread. Like read the comic strips. If you don't apply it, you're just reading. Some Christians live by works. Well, I volunteer in the culinary committee.
Yeah.
I've been on the culinary committee for 45 years. Beautiful. I don't care how magnificent your macaroni and cheese is. If you are not living the will of God, it does not matter. And last but not least, some Christians live by feelings. A lot of non-Christians right now living by feelings. Feelings and faith don't work out together. They just don't work. Faith requires you to just do it. Jesus just needs you to just do it. Your faith requires you to just do it. Feelings will have you, oh, well, why? Feelings will have you challenge. Why have I got to do all that? Why does it take all that? That didn't require all that. Why? No, don't ask why, okay? Just do it. Nobody was jumping in there trying to jump in and intercede for Jesus on that cross. So you don't get to ask why. You get to just do it. Nobody was jumping in front of Jesus for those scourgings or that crown of thorns. What am I trying to jump in front of Jesus and doing any of those things? Life was simple for Jesus. He was a carpenter.
Yeah.
It was simple. And then it got hard, and nobody took on that challenge. To die for all these people's sins, everybody from here on out and everybody before he arrived, my shed blood covers all of that. Yes, that's why you just do it. It's imperative for you to just do it. Because when you live by faith, you can't do feelings. Because feelings get hurt. Feelings get changed. I used to love root beer as a kid. My father Tay, all the time drinking root beer. I can't stand the smell of root beer now. Feelings. But when I learned what the Lord had done for me on Calvary, faith, I'm not trying to have that change because that doesn't get changed. That's already etched in stone and written in his blood. So we don't get the luxury. So that's why when we live by faith, we just do it. Because when you get caught up in all these other things, they're meaningless. Your devotions, your works, your feelings, meaningless. Meaningless. Why are they meaningless? Because if they're without faith, they have nothing.
Yeah.
Actually, they're dangerous. Dangerous in that they're distractions. That you think you're doing the will of the Lord when you're really doing not a whole lot of nothing.
Yeah.
You got to understand what the will of the Lord is for you. What your purpose is. Not everybody has the same task. Not everybody has the same opportunities, skills, etc. Some people in here can't boil water. That's okay. That's not your calling. So culinary committee, that's not where you need to be. Some folks can't sing. It's okay. You can usher. There's something to being an usher. Thank you, ushers, because it matters. I've been to a church where one of my buddies, he had on his baseball cap. He walked in. Excuse me, sir. We don't wear hats in here. No good morning. No thank you for coming. None of the good welcomes. None of that. You worried about the hat and not the person. None of the hat. He turned around and left. What if this is my only chance to show this person the love of Christ coming into the sanctuary? We already give them a hard time.
Yeah.
So ushering matters, so don't get that twisted. You need to be and see loving faces and kind hearts, people willing to serve, and not folks trying to, you know, draw the line on things. Not your task, not your role. But that's why it's important that you operate and live in faith, by faith. Do the things that are necessary. Because otherwise, if you're not living by faith and doing what the Lord needs you to do, you're wasting your Sunday mornings. You're coming in here every week wasting your time. Stop. Go back home, go back to bed, wash your car, do something different. But don't waste your time if you are not willing to do what the Lord asks you to do. If you're not willing to operate in faith, don't bother. If you just occupying a seat because it's what we always do, stop. Salvation is not going to come to you because the Lord does not know you. Your faith was in the place, but you were not within God's space.
Yeah.
You weren't worshiping with your words, your deeds, and your actions. It's imperative that you do these things. And the reason why I say that, because when we operate without faith, it's a dangerous place to be, because in Hebrews 11 and 6 it says, but without faith it is impossible to please God. Impossible. Didn't say challenging. Impossible. You have to understand that you have to have faith, first of all, to recognize that he is who he says he is. You need to recognize how sovereign God is and understand that the Bible says with the faith of a mustard seed, you can move mountains. These are the things the Bible tells us consistently about faith. So when we live by faith, we get to see God fully. When we worship and live in faith, we get to understand that God is a rewarder for those who diligently seek him. Again, in Hebrews 11 and 6. You have to understand that in these moments and times, tomorrow's not promised. This afternoon isn't promised. You need to understand you got to do it now. Not just do it, just do it now. I have to put some emphasis on that because everything isn't promised. So it's imperative that we recognize and be diligent when we seek him. Get up every morning praising the Lord because you got to get up. Somebody's going to go to bed tonight and not going to wake up tomorrow morning. Somebody went to bed last night feeling fine, did not wake up this morning. Getting up is an incredible thing. There are so many things that could go wrong with the body. It's just a simple little blood clot can shut it down just like that. And you have to understand and be faithful with your time when you live in faith. You are respectful of what the Lord has blessed you with. But as I close, in verse 38 and 39, it says, "But we are not of those who draw back to perdition, but of those who believe in the saving of the soul." Yeah. We are not those who draw back. Why is it important not to draw back? Well, picture this. June 10th, 2018. You get up. I said, I'm not living as a free person no more. I'm going to go back down to Drew, Mississippi. I'm going to pick cotton for free today. That's drawing back. Let that sink in. That's drawing back. That's going backward. The Lord has delivered you. Why would you do that? We ain't drawing back. Mississippi heat, It literally takes, when we go to visit, it takes all I have to leave the climate-controlled comforts and just walk to the car. I'm not talking anything strenuous, walking to the car. So when you're tasked with picking cotton for free, when you're tasked as the Israelites to want to run back to Egypt, when you are tasked and staring back, going back, there's no going back. None. Now, let's up the ante. Not only are you drawing back from the simple things here on earth, you withdrawn from the Lord. Yeah. All he's blessed you with, all he's redeemed you from, everything the Lord has done for you, you draw back from the Lord. That's why it says perdition. There's no coming back. You can't withdraw that from the Lord and think it's okay. There are consequences. You have to live in faith so that you don't see these consequences. Yeah. Because when you draw back, that's what you're drawing back from. And early in the text, in Hebrews, it talks about Jesus' sacrifice. That's it. There's nothing else. There's nothing more that can be sacrificed to save your soul. Yeah. The shed blood of Jesus Christ you're trampling on. You're saying it wasn't good enough. It's insufficient. That's what you're saying. God's beloved son and his sacrifice are worthless to you. Let that sink in. That's perdition. Those are the consequences. Perdition is where folks go who are non-believers forever. Eternal condemnation. You don't get to come back. You've rejected Jesus and all that he has done. There's no coming back. So when you live by faith, you believe to the saving of the soul. Souls matter. You believe in saving your own first and then sharing what the Lord has done to others. Because even if we aren't perfect, when we live by faith, we know the Lord is worth our best efforts. Yeah. I don't know about you, but I need the Lord to know every day I get up, I'm going to seek to do my best for him. Yeah. For no other reason. Amen. Because the money's going to come and go. I'm here to tell you, you can escalate your income and bills get bigger. Escalate your income and problems get harder. Yeah. Options grow and you decide whether to get a nice little car or a great big one, big pretty one. And then you start wondering, whoa, I need to do the best with what the Lord has blessed me with. And if you operate in faith, we learn to count our blessings and not our problems. When we live by faith, we start to learn that Goliath wasn't so tough after all. When we live by faith, we live by faith to understand that in spite of all this chaos, in spite of all this hopelessness and this hopeless mess, I still have hope in nothing less than Jesus Christ. You have a lot of folks wandering around this community, walking outside the doors of my church right now in Emmanuel, lost. They've got nothing. They believe in nothing. They have hope in nothing. Hopelessness is real. Like, oh, what is that, The Walking Dead. There's a lot of folk walking dead spiritually.
Yeah.
Not seeing the value of God, not seeing the value that Jesus Christ has for their life. So I beg you, when you live by faith, you share your faith. When you live by faith, that you do things to help others come up. Don't leave, the big thing in the military, we're not going to leave anybody behind. Make sure you're not leaving anybody behind. Anybody that's in your household, bring them with you. I don't feel like going to church. That's not a reason not to come. Let's hear a word from the Lord. There's nothing better you got to do on a Sunday morning than come and hear a word from the Lord. You wonder why all these kids are all off doing all these crazy things? They got too much free time. Nobody's got structured lives to understand what God has for them. If you pass on and do not share this, they will continue to float in life, a part of the walking spiritual dead. Please don't do that. They need you. One of the biggest things that we can help with the prison, the school pipeline to prison, is intervene. Show them a better way to do business. How did you get to where you are? How did you succeed? We talked just now, soon as I get home, put on my robe, tell the story. Soon as you get home, tell the story. How did you make it over? God delivered you from something. Everybody in here has been delivered from something. Either something, some drug, some person, you've been delivered. You've been delivered. So when you live by faith, you share those things.
Yeah.
Pass it on. You will make it. Today, got a call from work. Young lady's in an abusive relationship. Boyfriend's trying to come to my job and beat her up. Let her go home, file the necessary reports, etc. But more importantly, let her know that she can make it. Because God will deliver her, that she understands the Lord is with you. Thankfully, she's a Christian. I could share that with her. She went on her way to get her EPO nonetheless. These things matter. You have to share with people. You never know what they're going through, because when you live by faith, you learn the difference between joy and happiness. When you live by faith, you understand the kindness of Jesus. The sanctification that lies there. You understand? I pray for strength to keep from doing wrong. Jesus can help with that. These kids need to understand, you don't have to engage every fight that comes your way. You don't have to engage every situation that pops up. We want to get all in our feelings, those feelings again. These kids feel the need to feel and get in their feelings about things. Understand, you need to move by faith. Understand that you need to do it now. Because without faith, what do you have? There is a void for nobody to operate but the devil. Who's operating in that? Satan's got nothing but time and space inside each other. That boy will get filled with something. Well, what? It maybe it wouldn't be the devil. Okay, then the streets. The streets will take over. Same thing. Nobody gets a 401k, no retirement plan, living in them streets. There's no success in those streets. When you live by faith, you can tell them that to stop, go in a different direction. There's no success here. This is where all the dry bones are. This is not anywhere where there's growth or life. You have to understand, when you live by faith, you have to share these things. And as I close, when we live by faith, you think about the love and sacrifice of Jesus the Christ, and all you can say is thank you, thank you, thank you. Amen.
Amen. We live by faith and not by sight. Amen. God is our great provider, and he can do anything other than fail. The Bible says, if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord, believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. It is just that simple. God has delivered us from many things. And as the preacher said, you don't have to go back, but you do got to know who delivered you. Amen. I don't know why you're here today. You might have come for one reason, but I believe God brought you for another. We offer an invitation to you today that you may receive this Jesus Christ in your life, for he makes all of the difference in the world. Amen. As we led in this musical selection, let us please stand. This is your invitation. The Lord is calling you. Jesus is calling you. The question is, how will you respond? The Lord sees, he hears, and he answers our prayers.
God has smiled on me.
Yes, he has.
He has set me free.
You better know it. Ain't you glad God's not selfish? Thank you. The God doesn't hoard blessings, that God gives them freely to those that ask and are in need. We serve a good God. Amen.